Lamed Zayin Amad Aleph. Last daf in Hakomitz Rabbah. You'll see the two sheets. One of them is intended to be sort of a an index to Hakomitz Rabbah. Yeah, theoretically, this wouldn't be good in the beginning. This is at the end. But it tells you where to look for the different aspects that we've discussed of Safras, of Mezuzah, and of Tefillin. Presumably, an enterprising person could take the first four or five daf of Hatchelas and also do this for Tzitzis. Do a similar guide. I just thought it would be good because we go back and forth between different aspects of different mitzvos, and this is actually an easy reference. To a certain extent, unfortunately, it also fulfills what I read once in an introduction by Rabbi Bleich to one of his svarim, Rabbi J. David Bleich. The line doesn't originate with him, but we write things down in order to forget them. You heard that? It's very true, right? You take notes on something so that you don't have to remember it. That way you can just refer back to it. So similarly, now I don't have to remember that Lamed Hayim Beis is where he talks about the length of the Ritzuos, because now I can just look it up on here. But going with the assumption that we're apt to forget anyway, I thought, you know, this is perhaps a worthwhile thing to keep around, put it in your menachos. It's a good reference to have so that you can look up and you'll know, you know, the letter Hay, the discussion about the letters, oh, that was Chavtes Amid Beis. That sort of thing. So feel free to take it. Okay, and if anyone has suggestions on ways to make it more usable, let me know, please. All right, so the end of... two things to follow up on yesterday. Number one, we talked about the war and going back from the war for the Shalyad and the Shel Rosh. So I saw something interesting in the Rosh in his Hilchos Tefillin. He says, the merit of Tefillin causes the fulfillment of the bracha of the Taraf Zeroa Af Kod Kod. That's the in the Zechus of Tefillin. Batav Zeroa Af Kod Kod, the arm will tear, and the head. So the arm and the head match up to the Tefillin. So therefore, someone who doesn't have the Zeroa and the Kod Kod on the same page, he has a gap in between, doesn't go to Milchama. That was one, and then the other was Muttal's question about about answering somebody who says good morning between the Shiad and the Shel Rosh. So yesterday I thought that didn't qualify as Sicha, that doesn't qualify as the speech they described, but I looked it up, and the Mishnah Berurah actually is very harsh, because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't use the word Sicha. The Shulchan Aruch uses the words Asur Lahafsik at all. And so the Mishnah Berurah writes, I gave you the reference there on the sheets for today, that number one, you wouldn't be able to answer to your Rebbe, to answer Shalom to your Rebbe. So we assume from that means Shalom in general is inappropriate. And the other is, he says, even gesturing, I had mentioned the possibility of putting up a finger to say, wait a second, even gesturing, he's not happy about. He doesn't call it a hefsek. It wouldn't necessitate a new bracha, or a second bracha on the Shel Rosh. But he says you should be careful even about making a gesture. He doesn't want anything. And he views it as equivalent to in the middle of a perek in Shema. Like that level of concern, I think, because he's viewing it as separating between a bracha and a mitzvah. Since the first bracha, he understands as applying to the Shel Rosh also. Just like you wouldn't make a hafzik between, you know, saying a bracha of Kiddush and then drinking the wine. So here also, you wouldn't even answer somebody Shalom. They discuss what about if it's for the sake of the tefillin. That's its own discussion. But that's just following up from yesterday.
What about just noting the head or smiling or something like that?
Right, so he wants you to avoid the gesture. And he wants you to avoid it. He won't quite call it a hafzik. That far he doesn't go, but he says that should be avoided also. Yeah, be rude. Be rude. Work on it. That's, for some people, it takes more effort than others.
Maybe you should just turn your back, or isolate yourself, or somehow show that you're ignoring.
Put up a sign. Put up a sign saying, "I'm not putting on tefillin. I'm just ignoring you." The Aruch HaShulchan I looked at, he doesn't actually comment on the issue other than to say you can't be mausik. I looked in the Aruch HaShulchan. He didn't. The Mishnah Berurah is very machmir on Kavod HaBrios. He's not. The Chafetz Chaim was not a rude person. And the Aruch HaShulchan, like I said, doesn't go into detail on this. He just says, "Don't interrupt now." That's basically where he leaves it. Okay. So yesterday we started with the issue of putting tefillin on the left hand, and we gave our first source, Yad Chav being naturally the left, the because Yamin is what the Torah will say the in order to indicate the right, and we talked about that always B'yad Chav for B'minacha, all good. That brings us to our second explanation, which is the end of the third line, on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Rabbi Nosson Amar Einu Tzarech. Rabbi Nosson says this is unnecessary, you don't need to go that route. Harei Omer Ukshartam Uchsavtam. We link together Ukshartam to tie the tefillin and Uchsavtam to write the tefillin. Maksiva biyamin, writing is with the right. Rashi explains how I know that. Derov b'nei adam kosvin biyamin. Most people are righties; they write with their right hand. With the right hand. So the Gemara says, "Akshura biyamin." So to the tying, the act of tying is with the right. The kevad akshura biyamin anacha b'smolei. If you're going to tie with your right, then you have to be tying it onto your left. That's the idea. So he links it to Ksiva, which leads Tosfos to ask, what about somebody who writes with his right hand, but does everything else with his left hand?
Yeah.
What do you do with him? And Tosfos doesn't really seem to have an answer. The Rush in his Hilchos Tefillin, in Yud Ches, says to go with what you use, the hand you use for the majority of your activities. The Tur and the Ramah say that writing is what matters. So this is an unusual case. The Tur is not following the Rush's prescription. The Tur says majority of your activities. What does majority of your activities mean? That's a good question. But how do you count up different activities? Is playing sports different depending on the sport? How does that work? But the Tur and the Ramah rule that writing is what matters. If you write with your right hand, you are a righty. If you write with your left hand, you are a lefty. That seems to be the approach. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yossi Achorim Hanacha de Bismol Mendale. So Rabbi Yossi Achorim, who told us yesterday that he draws it from the use of the word Yad in the Torah, so Hanacha de Bismol Mendale. How does he know that it's supposed to sit on the left hand? So Nafkale Meicha de Nafkale Rabbi Nosson. No, that's okay. He says I draw it from the same place that Rabbi Nosson does. So I have the whole thing being done by the left hand. Well, that's what Rabbi Yossi Achorim will say. Rav Ashi gives me a third source. Rav Ashi Amar Mi Yadcha, which is the classic. The Yadcha is written in the Torah with the extra hey. Rashi gives you two explanations of what he means here. The Gemara itself says Ksiv Behei, it's written with the hey, indicating Keha, weak. But Rashi has two different ways to take that. His first approach is not going to win him any friends on the women's side of the Mechitza. He says Mi Dechsiv Behei, it's written with a hey, Keha Mash Malashon Nekeva. Yadcha with a hey at the end makes the word as though it's feminine, because it has a kamatz hey ending. So women tend to be weaker. Shmamina bismol kaamar dein bakalach kinekeva. That's the left. The left is not as strong. It's like the woman. Think of also Moshe Rabbeinu in that line also in kacha at oseli. So the at reference is taken that way as well. Lishna achrina yadcha yad keha amya below chawach. The one we're more familiar with, the second version in Rashi, yadcha is yad keha, the weak hand. That's the reference. So Amar le Rabbi Abba le Ravashi. So Rabbi Abba says to Ravashi, you're coming in with this third approach. Ve'ema yadcha shebekawach. Why don't I say it's like yad kawach, the hand of strength? So Amar le miksiv beches. He says because it ends in a hey, it doesn't end in a ches. That's why. Kitanoi. So in fact, this issue of how I deduce it and do I deduce it from Yadcha or not is actually a machlokes tanoi. Yadcha behei zu smol. The Tanakhama says Yadcha is written with a hey at the end. That tells me the left. Acherim omrim, but others say no. That's not what I use Yadcha for. Yadcha with the hey at the end in the margin. They actually reinsert the hey. Lerabos es hagidem comes to include the amputee. That's what I need Yadcha for. I needed to know about the case of the amputee. And actually, I'm looking at the table that I distributed, and I realized I left the amputee off of the chart. I'll have to redo the chart and insert the amputee. He should be there. All right.
Where does he put it? Does he put on tefillin shel yad?
So that's exactly what we want to know. Does he put on tefillin shel yad? There is a view that actually suggests that he should also not put on tefillin shel rosh. Once you don't put one on, you don't put both on. But that's not generally the assumption. So yadcha the rabos as hagidim. He wants to say yadcha means that an amputee actually would put on tefillin. He He would put it on.
Yeah,
we put it on.
Right. So again, assuming that he's talking about the Shel Yad and not the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh, that's the idea. Now Rashi says She'ein Lo Yad, who doesn't have a hand. The question is, what exactly does that mean when you say he doesn't have a hand? But just finishing the Rashi, he says Demashma Yad Ritzutza Umekul Keles. It suggests that Yad Cha sounds like even a hand which is either crushed or in some way corrupted. He will still put on tefillin. So first, let's do the next two lines in the Gemara. Tanya Idach, Braisa says, Ein lo zroa potter min atfillin. Then Acherim Omrim Yadcha l'Rabbo says Agidem. That either the Tanakhama says he's potter from tefillin, and others say no, it's just to include the amputee. Tosfos says there is no machlokas between the two views on this pasuk. He said they're dealing with two different cases. The Magen Avraham and Simon Chav Zayin Tzivka and Gimel explains that what it means is that one who has a stump puts on tefillin. That's the one that says put it on. It means someone who has a stump, and someone who doesn't have anything, so he doesn't do it. You don't say put it on the other arm or something.
I don't go with together two of the two. How can you put just Rosh without the other one?
You could. You just say both brachos on the Shel Rosh. That's what one would do.
Before that must be the Rosh must be with the other together.
Okay, but if you don't have the option, you don't have the option. That's what he would say. The Or Zeruah says it is a machlokes, and that indeed the one who says potter even if someone does have a stump. The Ramah in Or Chaim Chav Zayin Aleph is concerned for this view, and so he says one who is an amputee but has something of a stump he could put tefillin on would put it on but without a bracha. That's his view, but the Mishnah Berurah clarifies and says that's only if there is nothing past the elbow. In other words, the way the Mishnah Berurah sees it is one who has something past the elbow puts it on with a bracha. And Mishnah, again, this is the Mishnah Berurah, Chav Zayin Vav, says that if he doesn't have anything after the elbow, then he puts it on without a bracha. But obviously, he's not wrapping straps seven times; he's just putting it on the yad. Sorry.
Why would you use the other arm?
Because that's not the weaker arm.
It is now.
Well, it's the bigger arm, the stronger. Okay. Right. But because it's the arm that's functional, it's just considered inappropriate. Remember, this is, according to what we're saying now, the idea of putting it on the weaker arm is fundamental to the mitzvah. It's not that, well, this is the arm I'm going to use. It's actually fundamental to the way we do the mitzvah. So we're not going to say, well, just use the other arm. If you can't do it on the arm it's meant to be on, you don't do the mitzvah at all. That would be the idea. Right, so the cas, I'll refer you, the Gemara here doesn't discuss it, so I'm going to refer you to the Rav to ask, but it has to do with the permanence of the cas. It's not so simple, not so straightforward. The Tana Rabbanan, Iter, what about a lefty? So he says, Iter meniach tefillin bimino shehu smolo. The lefty puts tefillin on his right hand, which is his left. Meaning it is his weaker hand. Vatanya, but I have a brace that says Miniach b'smolo shu smolo shokol adam. What do you mean? Brace says put it on his left, which is everybody's left. In other words, you go with what everybody else is doing. Amar Abaye kitanya he b'sholeit b'shtay adam. Abaye says no, that's by someone who is ambidextrous. The Mordechai in his Halachas Kitanos asks, what if you train yourself to use your left hand? You know, you were born a righty, but you trained yourself to use your left. And he says, surprise, it's a machlokas. Okay. The Tana Devei Menashe. Al yadcha zo kibores. The al yadcha refers to the bicep. Bein einecha zu kud kod. Between your eyes is a reference to the kud kod, the part above the forehead. Hecha, where is that? Sa'ami deve rabbiane makum shemocho shaltinok rofes. He says the place where a baby's head is soft. Rashi says a katan ben shana. So really, that's very far up. That's like up here. We talk about the soft spot on a baby. And Tosus makes the point, that's true. He says you could be up here or you can be further down as long as it's above the forehead. That's the only criteria. And he says that's because we say in the Gemara, also not right here, that there's room enough for two pair of tefillin on your head. He says the way it would work is here and then here. Be vertical, so to speak. Sorry?
Some people put...
Yeah. Well, you could, according to this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he's a sofa, he's cheaper.
Rebbe gets a discount. So Plemo asks Rebbe a great question. Misha Yeshlo Shnei Rushim, Beizame and Meniach Tefillin. I know people who don't have a head at all. So apparently someone else has a surplus. Someone has two heads. So, he has two for the price of one. He also went to the sofa. So Beizame and Meniach Tefillin, which one does he put his tefillin on? So Omar Le, O Kum Gli, O Kabel Ach Shamta, which Rashi says means either get out, or I'm going to put you in Cherem. The Galil like goes. The and if you don't, I'm going to put you in Cherem. Right. So it's interesting. The Rashi says you're laughing at me by asking this question. The Tosfo says it can't be in this world, but it could be in the next world. And he brings this story about Ashmedai producing somebody with two heads for Shlomo HaMelech, and the guy gets married and he has kids who all breed like him. Some of them are like him and some of them are like his wife. And the question is, when the man dies, who get do they claim a double portion? Because we say according to the number of heads, it's a per capita thing. So that's the question: is how do you break down the Yerusha? So wait, but the funny thing is, they come to Shlomo and Tosfos ends there. Tosfos doesn't give you the end of the story. So what happened? So Shita Mekubetzes says that what he did was he poured hot water on the head of one, on one head of the body, and not on the other. And he saw they both cried out. So that told him, aha, it's one person. It's really one person. It's not multiple people because they're connected by the nerves. This is Shita Mekubetzes, Oz Yirches. It's really one person with two heads. So the Gemara seems to leave it, but continues the discussion anyway. The Ben Yehoyada, by the way, says, I know of cases like this. The Ben Yishchai said, I know of cases like this, but they don't live. They don't live long enough to wear tefillin. Which leads to the question of conjoined twins. What do you do if you have conjoined twins and there are now two heads? So that's discussed. The Munkacher ruled on this, quoted the Margalios HaShas, saying you need tefillin for both heads. Because either there are two people, really two people, or it's one person, and so it's suffik d'oraisa, it's lo yifshuta in the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't answer the question. So you have to have both, plus you're supposed to be meshabed your head and your heart. So if you have two heads, then you're meshabed both heads to the service of Hashem. Right, Rashi on one, or the Tam on the other. The Karen Oris is the left head, but who, by the onlooker or by the people? Is that the weaker head? Okay. Okay, fine. So he asked him the question, but we're not done with the question. Adahachi, at this point, Asahu Gavra, a guy comes along. Amrlai Isilit Leonuka, the Isilit Reishi. He said, I had a kid, and the kid has two heads, so there. Kama Bleen on the Mesa of the Kohen. What do I do for Pidyon Aben? How much do I give to the Kohen? Asahu Sava, a certain elder came, and remember, Tosos in Chulin Davav says that Ahu Sava is a reference to Eliyahu Anavi, which is good, because he has to show up for the Seder anyway. Asahu Sava, right, he's a Kohen, he's an interested, right? Tanalei, sure enough, Chayav Litein Lo Asara Slaim, Asir Slaim, he says, yeah, you have to give him 10 Salah. Rashi explains, one of them is the Bechor, and he has two heads, and therefore you should give 10. It's not like we have twins, where there's only one who actually is the Bechor. We're viewing it as one person who is the Bechor, and has two heads, so therefore you have to give Kofar for both. Therefore you have to give 10 Salah. So the Gemara says, Ini, is that really true? But Tani Rabbi Bar Chama mitoch shenemar pados yivdez b'chor ha'adam shemaya ani afilu nitrof pesoch lamed. He says, I don't understand. Rabbi Bar Chama says, the pasuk says, "Pados sivdeh, you shall surely redeem," which I would have thought meant even if the kid is nitrof. Rashi says neharag, killed, which is a big problem because we're not talking about a kid who dies a violent death. We're talking about a kid who is not viable. This word neharag causes a lot of trouble, as we've shown him in Achronim trying to figure that out. But in any case, I might think you would redeem even if the kid was not viable. Tamid lomar ach. The Torah says no. Ach pados sivdeh, and we take just like the erev Pesach, that it splits it. It teaches me not everybody gets redeemed. You won't redeem in the case where it's not viable. And the point for us, as Rashi says, is that this kid with the two heads is not going to survive. So if he's not going to survive, how is it that you're telling me you have to redeem him? To which he answers, Sha'ani Acha, it's different over here. The Gugolas Tala Rachmana. The Torah makes it about the skull, makes it about the head. This kid has two heads, and therefore I insist, as long as he is alive, if you can do the Pinyon Aben, you have to do 10. Five for each, correct. Amar Mar, they now go back to our line. You can always give more. People do give more, routinely.
So I guess it's similar to around 212, suffix the
right. Right. I think the problem is because the man says, now I have two mouths to feed, and therefore I'm worried about affording it, so I really only want to give the minimum. But you're right, otherwise you could say, suffix the right, to give more. You never lose by giving more.
Crane always gives it back anyway.
That's another discussion. Omar Mar, second line. Yodcha zuki bores menalan. Right? If you're following on your chart, you knew that bicep was going to come back in the Gemara Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Yodcha being the kibores menalan, how do you know? The Tana Rabbanan, Brisa says, Al yodcha zo gova shebiyad. That's the height of the arm. meaning the part above the elbow. Maybe not. Maybe it means on your hand. So our first answer of three that we're going to give is that the Torah says put tefillin on your arm, and it says put tefillin on your head. On the head, we know it's the height of the head. We'll find out how you know that soon. So to here, it's on the height of the arm. And by the way, when we say the bicep, it means the upper part of the bicep, not in the armpit, but the upper part of the bicep, not down by the elbow. Rabbi, you have to work out in order to have enough of a bicep to make a distinction. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Eino Tzarech. Rabbi Eliezer says, I don't need that as my source. It's not the parallel to the head. Rather, it should be a sign for you. For you, not for others. So you put it in a more concealed spot, not on your hand. Note though, yeah, but it's only about the spot. It's not that the halach is that it must be covered. It doesn't have to be covered. It's the but the point is, it's not so out in the open. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Eino Tzarech. Rabbi Yitzchak says you don't need that. Harayu Omer B'samtem Es Devarai Ela Al Levavchem. The pasuk says, put it on your heart, ukshartam, and you shall tie it. So Shtei Sima Keneged Halev. We place it near the heart. That's up on the upper part of the arm. Rabbi Chiya of Rav Acha Breder of Avia Mechavin Umanach Lelahade Libe. Rabbi Chiya and Rav Acha Breder of Avia were careful to put it by the heart. Rav Ashi have a Yosef Kameh Da Meimar. By the way, they ask, what about the lefty who's putting it on the other side? They ask that. The answer is, it's still parallel to it. The Rav Ashi have a Yosef Kameh Da Meimar. Rav Ashi is sitting in front of a Meimar. Have a Syria Biyadei V'Kamizchazian Tfilin. The he had some kind of a wound on his bicep, and his in order to keep from rubbing the wound, he had torn open the sleeve. So now the tefillin are visible to everybody. So Amar Leilo Savalam. Yeah. So yeah, but look at the rest of the line. Amar Leilo Savalam Mar Lachol Aos V'Lachirim Laos. He said to Amemar, don't you believe that you're supposed to have it as a sign for you? Amar Leil B'Makom Lachol Aos Itmar. He said, no, it's the place that would be a sign for you. There is no requirement of actually covering the Sheliad. In practice, we do it. Right, all the sets of tefillin come with these covers that roll off and under the table. But theoretically, we're covering the sheliad with it, and it's also good to protect it from losing its square shape, from rubbing against things. We can't do it for the shel rosh because the shel rosh is dafka not supposed to be covered. But at least for the sheliad, okay. Gova shebarosh menalan. How do you know it's supposed to be at the top of the head? Where does that come from? Why not the forehead? The Tana Rabbanan. We're going to get two sources here. Brisa says, "Bein einecha zugova shebarosh." Bein einecha means the top of the head. At armor zugova shebarosh. Uenu ela bein einecha mamash. Why? Maybe it actually means between the eyes. So first of all, we say no. Nemar kan bein einecha v'nemar lahalon lo sasimu karcha bein einechem lameis. Talking about grieving and tearing out one's hair, it says bein einechem. Don't tear out the hair from between your eyes. So where do you tear out hair from? Not from your forehead. A person tears out hair from the top of the head. Ma lahalon begova shebarosh. There, it's the height of the head, because that's where the hair is. That's Rashi says, Shiyesh Boseir Bimorto Osa Karcha, that if you pull out hair, that makes the Karcha. Makum Shosa Karcha, that's what it is. Avkan Begova Shalrosh, Makum Shosa Karcha. So to here, it's the height of the head, the place where it would generate a bald spot. That's the idea. Rav Yehuda gives me another explanation.
The side of
right, but the Torah says, Bein Einechem. You can't. You know, it's like my Hodu Vyad Kush. Is Hodu Vyad Kush from there to there, or is it all the way around the world, the other way around? So Bein Einechem, I suppose you could argue, is going around the head, still between the eyes. Rabbi Yudomer Eino Tzarech. Rabbi Yudah says you don't need that. Amra Tara Hanach Tfilin Biyad Hanach Tfilin Barosh. This is a very interesting association. The Torah says put tefillin on your arm and on your head. So Malahol and B'Makom Haroi Li Tami Benega Echad. In your arm, it's one surface. It's just flesh in terms of tzaras. Meaning that in order for tzaras to be valid there, all you need is a discoloration of the skin. That'll be sufficient, or discoloration of hair. One or the other. Avkan, b'makom haroi, l'tame b'nega echad. So too, the head is on the spot where it could become tame, get tzaras from one mark, lafuke b'nei necha, as opposed to the forehead, di'ika basar viseyar, where there is flesh and hair, di'ika seyar lavan, v'ika nami seyar tzav, because there's white hair and there's yellow hair as well, Rashi explains. That the idea is that in order for a person to have tzaras on the forehead, you require two signs: discoloration of the skin, as well as discoloration of the hair. Boitarti, Rashi says, the white hair on the flesh. Actually, it's not. I'm sorry. It's not hair and flesh. It's white hair on the flesh part, and it's yellow hair on the eyebrow part. That's what Rashi says.
The eyebrows.
Yes.
Is there enough room there for a nega that says begris?
Right. So apparently the answer is yes. Clearly not the shear gris that we would use nowadays, but the shear gris that that they had. That's the assumption that I have to make based on this, unless you're going to tell me that the shear gris is the general makom around it in which two hairs appear. Maybe that's that will be an alternative. You have to ask your local your local certified kohen in Maros, but that could be the answer. So that concludes the discussion of the tefillin. Again, refer to your table for where in the parak we discuss different things. I'll have to add the amputee onto there. If anyone wants an updated version, I can email it to you. But arbet tzitzios ma'akvo zuzu sharbata mitzvah achas. We now begin tzitzis, which will take the next six daf or so. So the four tzitzis, we had a machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Shmuel and the Tanakama as to whether they are one big mitzvah or whether it's four separate mitzvahs, strings on this corner, on this corner, on this corner, and on this corner. So my benayu, practically, is there a difference between whether you call it one mitzvah or four? You bet. Three different ramifications. Amar of Yosef, Sadin Betzitzis, Ika Benayu. Rav Yosef says, sure, Sadin, we assume, is a linen sheet of some kind that a person is using to wrap around himself, and Tzitzis, we assume, are wool. So, in other words, Shanez Tzitzis. What happens if I have a linen garment, I want to put wool strings on it for my Tzitzis, but one corner doesn't have Tzitzis strings on them. Only three do. Or two do, for that matter. So do I say, well, the strings that are on there are for the mitzvah, because each one is an independent mitzvah, and therefore you do it even though it's shanes? Or do I say, you're missing one, and therefore you don't have any mitzvah at all, and therefore you shouldn't wear it at all? Correct. It's shatnez without any mitzvah of tzitzis. That's one difference. Rava Barahina Amar Talis Balas Chamesh Ika Beinayu. Rava Barahina says a five-cornered garment. We're going to see in the Gemara that you're supposed to put tzitzis on a five-cornered garment as well. So the question is, do you put strings on the four corners of the five-corner baget? The Gemara later, not today, is going to discuss which four corners you would use. But do you put it on four corners of the five-cornered baget because it's all one mitzvah that way? Or do I say each corner is a mitzvah, and therefore you have five corners, put it on five corners? You should do it on five corners of the baget. That's another difference. Ravina Amar, the Rav Huna Ikebeinayu. Rav Huna said, Rav Huna's statement is the ramification. Damar Rav Huna Yotze Vitala Shenem Mitzuyatas Kehochas Abishabas Chayev Chatas. Rav Huna says, if you put three tzitzis strings on three corners of your garment, and you go out with it on Shabbos to Rishus Harabim, to a public domain, you're carrying the strings, and therefore you're Chayev Chatas. That would be the concern. So he says that's only true if you believe that it's all one big mitzvah. Right? If you believe it's all one big mitzvah, then when it doesn't have proper Rav Huna could still be talking about some other case, not just the three-cornered case. He could be talking about a case where he did something else wrong with the strings. But the point is, if you believe that it's really all one mitzvah, then any deficiency in any of the corners means it's no longer tzitzis, and you can't wear it going out into a public domain. If, however, you believe that each one is its own mitzvah, then that as long as the other ones have their proper things, you don't wear it on improperly at all, but you would be able to go out with it.
Isn't wearing different than carrying?
So wearing is not different than carrying for this purpose, because it's not considered part of the garment. The fact that you attach it solely for the purpose of the mitzvah tells me that I don't consider this to be part of the baget. It's a very good question, but that's what the Gemara is assuming. It has serious ramifications in Hilchos Shabbos, that's the statement.
But you would not be chayav enough that you didn't have any tzitzit at all.
Well, not for Hotzah.
Yeah,
correct.
But wouldn't they, in those days, though, since it was not a separate garment?
Correct. So this would be your regular, whatever four-cornered garment you happen to be wearing. That's correct. Your tunic or whatever. Yes, you're not carrying the garment. You're carrying the strings. It's the strings. Yeah. Yeah, the garment you're wearing. Shanes is wearing. We say it's a din in the gavra, not a din in the chavza. Correct. Okay.
By the ego, it says that they had charat from Kabbalah Satayr. So they ask Akashi, it's Kaisha Shabbas.
Yeah.
So it turns out they're wearing tzitzis, they answer.
Ah, right. That's the classic question. By Avraham, also they ask.
They're carrying already.
Yeah.
The Machal Shabbos.
Right. The classic question is by Avraham. How does he keep Shabbos? Right. Correct. Amr of Shisha Breda of Idi. Rav Shisha Breda of Idi says, we're two lines up from where they get wide. There are two different approaches in Rashi to understand this. Rashi's first version of this is that what he's saying is, if you fold up the bottom of the garment, and now I want to know, so where are my corners in terms of tzitzis? You don't put it on the temporary corners that you generated by folding it. Rather, you put it on the original corners. That's Rashi's first explanation here. The lo avid below klum, folding it did nothing. Shavye talis bas balas chamesh. What you've done is you've added extra corners. If you fold up one corner, so now you have two edges. That's all you've done. Rashi's second approach is that what he's saying is that folding up the bottom of the garment does not eliminate the corners. That's the way Rashi. That's Rashi's second approach. Amar, he prints it on Lamed Chesem at Aleph under Lishna Achrina, which Yishida Mekubetzes promptly removes. The Amar Misharshia, the first wide line, Haiman Ditsaire Leglime Lo Avad Velo Klum. Where Misharshia says, even if you stitch up the garment, you didn't do anything. And again, it's about the temporary corners in the first version in Rashi, or about eliminating the corners that were there in the second version in Rashi. My time, why? The command to Sharia Dami. We view it as though it had already been unstitched. Released the Utnan Nami Kol Chemso Chamasa Satsuros Taharos Chutz Mishal Aravim regarding. Cisterns, these leather things, if you tie it up, meaning if it gets a hole in it and then you tie it up, it's considered to be tahor because it's still not considered a functional kli, because were you to remove the tie, and we assume you're going to, then it would have a hole in it, except for the ones of the Aravim, because they tended to tie them up and leave them that way. So therefore, it's permanent. Similarly here, with your garment, you fold it up the corner, you tie it up the corner, that's not considered to be permanent, and therefore, you put your tzitzis on the normal corners, even though they are folded up. So a person who walks around all day with his tefillin folded up, with his talus folded up, for whatever reason, you know, he's afraid of the strings dragging or something, would not change his calculation of the four corners as far as putting tzitzis on it.
If Saturday he's stitching up, that would tend to be permanent.
Right, so he's saying not. He's saying that this is viewed as something you're going to release at some point. It's just a temporary thing.
Yeah, I also got another question here. It says, Shavye talik balat chamesh.
If you only did this to one corner.
Makes it sound like it now has something with five corners.
Correct, which would then seem to require it.
It would also make it sound like you put it on one of the new corners.
Right, it does, doesn't it? The statement of Balas Chamesh sounds like it should. And Rashi doesn't help us. Rashi just writes V'chayeves. Which makes it sound like maybe I should be putting it on the fourth and the fifth. That's not the way we tend to take that line, but I agree with you that that's what it sounds like. That when you fold it up, what he's saying is put it on both of the new ones. But it doesn't fit the flow in Rashi in general to suggest it. And Rashi, in his second version of it, Rashi's second version is on Rav Misharshia, Ditsaire Leglime. So maybe not. Maybe what Rashi actually, maybe what he's trying to say is, in fact, that on the first version of it, Rav Shish Ben Ravidi says lo avid velo klum shavei talas balas chamesh. What he actually means is not leave it on the old corners. What he means is, hang on. Did I misunderstand that? That could be. You know what? Yeah. No. I see what's going on. Yeah. You know why? I jumped the gun. I went two lines too early. Sorry. Read this again, please. Amr of Shisha, thank you for catching that. Amr of Shisha Braid of Evi. Haiman debatre leglimelo abrivelo klum shavi talas bas chamesh. I was too eager to get to the end of the paragraph. Rav Shisha Braid of Evi says, if what you did is batre, meaning you cut off one of the corners, you did nothing. Shavi talas balas chamesh, all you did was make it a five cornered garment, which still requires tzitzis. Good. Then, Amr of Misharshia, Haiman did sire leglimelo abrivelo klum. Rav Misharshia is talking about tying it up. And he says, tying it is nothing. My time at the command is Sharia Dummy. We view it as though you had released it. And therefore you put the tzitzis on the old corners, and then you have the two versions in Rashi about what that means. Good. Like these jugs which we consider to be untied. And Amr of Diminerda, Haiman de Chaite Ligli, may if you stitch up the garment. Lo Avar Velo Klum, you didn't do anything. In Isa, the Lomi Bayule, Liv Sok Velishdiye. Because if you really didn't want the rest of the thing that you now hemmed up, you would have cut it off and thrown it out. So that's the way to take it. There are three statements here. That's why I jumped the statement about the five-cornered baguette. Thank you. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Batan Arba Mitzvahs. Rabbi Shmuel says the four corners are four separate mitzvahs. Amar Yudam Shmuel, Halachik Rabbi Shmuel, Veles El Chesakavasei. He says the law is Rabbi Shmuel, but no, we don't. Not true. We actually say it's one mitzvah. Ravina Havaka Azil Abasei, the Marbar Vashi, B'Shabsa de Rigla. Here we go. Shabbos HaGadol is coming. Ravina is following Marbar Vashi on Shabbos HaGadol. The Shabbos when you teach about the Yantav. We don't actually know if it was Pesach or leading into Sukkot. But if Zikarna de Chute below Amale below Mide. So the string of the tzitzis, the corner of the tzitzis, snapped. And he didn't tell him anything because he's in public. I don't want to take off the beged. Come out to the base. He got home. Amar lei, hasav ifsik. He said to him, "Oh, it was back there already that it got cut." Amar lei, amar li hasam shadisa. He said, "Had I known that back then, had you told me then, I would have removed it then." Ava amar mar gadol kavod abrios shadochas lo tzeshesh betara. Kavod abrios here. Respect. How could you do that? You couldn't take it off in public. It overrides a lo sase, specifically the lo sase here. Let's see. Taguma Rav. The Gemara is going to walk us through it. Taguma Rav Bar Shiva Kamed Rav Kahana Bilav Delo Sasur. He says you would have left it there because you're worried about carrying on Shabbos, right? That's your losas that you're worried about. Kavod Abrios is more important than carrying on Shabbos. To which his answer is no, because the only losas that it overrides is Dirabanan's, the love of losasur that insists that I follow the positions of the Rabbanan. That's what's overridden by Kavod Abrios. Kavod Abrios would not override it. Oraisa, I would have taken it off right there. That's the first version of the story. The Ika de Amri, alternatively, Mehasam Omerle. He actually told him back there. The Va'amarle Maidaitach, to which he said, "What are you thinking? The Mishnah? You think that I should remove it here? Va'amar Gadol Kavod Abrios Shadochas Lo Sasei Shabbatora. I can't. Kavod Abrios overrides a lav. So don't tell me that here. There's nothing I can do." Targuma Rab Bar Shiva Kamed Rav Kahana Balav De Lo Sasur. But didn't we say that's only Lo Sasur that's overridden by the that's overridden by Kavod Abrios? Here it's a Del Raisa. No, Hachanami Carmelis Derabbanan. He it was a Carmelis he was in, and therefore was a Derabbanan. And therefore, indeed, you wear the beged. So the two versions. One version is he told him only later, and he said I would have taken it off. Version number two is he was told it in public, and he said I don't remove it because I'm in a Carmelis, and therefore carrying it is a derabanan. Hadron alacha comments one line into the new parak because you can't just stop there. Atcheles enu makeves es halavan v'halavan enu makeves atcheles. The on the tzitzis, even without atcheles, you still wear with the lavan, and without the lavan, you still wear the atcheles. And you have to understand what exactly that means, but I'll leave that to my veil tomorrow. We pick up, God willing.